The state's largest business lobbying group, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, has been involved in politics for decades, pushing for business-friendly state policies and candidates. WMC paid for ads against State Supreme Court Justice Lewis Butler in the last state Supreme Court race, like this ad dubbed Loophole Louie.
We've heard it before. Judge cites loophole, sides with criminal that threatens our safety. Take Justice Lewis Butler. His colleagues called him Loophole Louie, a woman beaten to death with a bat. Butler uses a loophole suppressing critical evidence. A husband poisoned his wife. Butler cites a loophole, almost jeopardizing the prosecution. Butler doesn't mind being called Loophole Louie. He says it's affectionate. Call Justice Lewis Butler. Ask him to deliver justice, not loopholes.
Ads like that one helped Judge Michael Gableman defeat the incumbent Justice Lewis Butler, and at least one state business was not happy with WMC's involvement in the state Supreme Court race. And Epic Systems, a Verona-based software company, recently announced it will not do business with companies that do business with WMC or are members of WMC. We will talk about this political fight between a business and the business lobby and its implications with two guests who have written dueling op-eds about the issue. And we will wonder if you side with one or the other. Is this an inappropriate attack on free speech by Epic, or should Epic be applauded for this effort? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, July the 14th. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the State Capitol Report. And let me welcome our guests, Mike McCabe, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And Howard Schwaber, an Associate Professor of Political Science and Law at UW-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Professor Schwaber, you don't blame Epic for being unhappy with the actions of WMC in the state Supreme Court race, but you do find fault with how Epic is showing that displeasure?
That's exactly right. There's a very long backstory to this that you alluded to in your intro, which is, of course, the great bitterness that remains after the judicial campaign that Judge Gableman ran against Lewis Butler. The ad you played was one potentially misleading and certainly inflammatory ad. It is not the worst. I would have said that the worst was the Reuben Lee Mitchell ad. Mm-hmm. That one was run by the Gableman campaign itself, and I'm going to come back to that point because there's something about that that's important. But there are very good reasons for people in Wisconsin of any political persuasion to be deeply upset at what has happened to our system of judicial elections. And Wisconsin manufacturers have their fingerprints all over that process, mm-hmm. or all over that outcome. The problem is that in order to make their displeasure known, Epic is using a tactic that at least comes very close to the following. By saying we won't do business with people who do business with the people whose actions we disapprove of, they're coming very close to coercing people, using their economic clout in the marketplace to coerce small businesses who may depend on Epic for their livelihood. And tell them your choices are either to cease your association with this political group, cease doing business with these people we disapprove of, or we'll put you out of business.
Yeah.
Now,
and
that description is debatable, but to the extent that that description is accurate, that I find deeply troubling.
Yeah, and Mike McCabe, don't you find that troubling?
Well, I think there's a lot wrong with what Dr. Schwaber, how Dr. Schwaber characterizes this situation. First of all, I think Epic is totally within its rights. It has every right to choose what businesses it decides to do business with. And it's interesting that if a company like Epic makes a decision purely based on economics, nobody has a problem with it. But when a company makes a decision that also has an ethical component that is based on how its decision affects people and politics, then everybody gets their noses bent out of joint. And these are hardly small businesses, as Professor Schwaber characterizes them, that Epic has a bone to pick with. J.P. Cullen is one of the 400 largest construction firms in America. M&I Corporation, which Epic has also apparently had meetings with, is one of the 50 largest bank holding companies in the country. These are huge corporations that are part of a business association that has hundreds and hundreds of businesses involved. There are 45 members on the WMC board, representing some of the largest corporations in all of Wisconsin: Harley-Davidson, John Deere, M&I Corporation, Wisconsin Power and Light, Johnsonville Sausage, American Transmission Company, Snap-on Tools, on and on and on. So it's a mischaracterization to say that they're somehow trying to coerce small businesses, and I think it's taking great liberties here to even say that Epic is seeking to coerce somebody. Professor Schwaber has never been privy to any of the conversations that Epic management has had with any of these members of WMC. All we have to go on is a statement that came from Epic management that said that made allusion to their concerns about WMC's involvement with the last Supreme Court election, and said that they had made a decision to try to work only with vendors that do not support WMC with its current management. Yeah. It's reading an awful lot between those lines to somehow characterize this as them coercing small businesses in particular, because they're not dealing with small businesses here at all.
We will check our weather forecast, and then we will get Howard Schwaber's response to that as we debate this political debate between state business and the state's largest business lobby. Epic versus WMC. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Talking with two guests during this hour of our State Capitol Report: Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and Howard Schwaber, an Associate Professor of Political Science and Affiliate Member of the UW-Madison Law School. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6 this afternoon. This is our State Capitol Report. Every Monday at this time, we take a look at current issues involving state politics. And one of the big issues out there these days is this political battle between Epic Systems, a Verona-based medical records company, and WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state's largest business lobbying group. We're talking about Epic's recent decision to not do business with vendors or contractors that do business with WMC or are members of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. One of our guests is troubled by this action. Another is not, and we welcome your thoughts and questions. WMC itself says that Epic is trying to silence it and or attack its right to free speech. WMC has been involved in a number of political issues and campaigns. Do you consider this an attack on free speech? Do you think it's a good move by Epic to show its displeasure this way with WMC's action? We welcome your questions and your views on this at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk at wpr.org. Our two guests have written dueling op-eds that have appeared in the Madison papers on this issue over the last week or so. Howard Schwaber, an associate professor of political science and law, and Mike McCabe, executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Professor Schwaber, we just heard Mike McCabe saying that, this is not, Epic is not coercing anyone when it comes to this issue. It's just saying it would prefer to try to do business with companies that are not involved with WMC, and it has every right to do that.
Sure. Well, there are 4 points that I hear on the table right now, three that were just raised by Mr. McCabe and one you just mentioned raised by WMC itself. First of all, Mr. McCabe suggests that Epic is fully within its rights. That was the phrase that he used, and that there's an inconsistency because people only get concerned about these issues where companies are trying to take ethical stands. That's simply wrong. As a matter of antitrust law, businesses that attempt to organize attempts not to do business with a third business, that can be illegal. To give a simple example, if a bunch of competitors agree among themselves not to deal with a supplier, so long as that supplier continues to provide goods to another competitor whom they wish to drive out of business, that's a per se violation of antitrust law. The law in this area is complicated. It turns on what's called a rule of reason, which requires courts to balance the probable effect on competition, the question of whether there is a coercive effect, the role that the businesses involved play in the local economy. It's all very fact-dependent. But it's simply not true that these kinds of tactics are not troublesome both legally and ethically as a matter of business ethics when they're conducted for business purposes. Conversely, there is precedent that says where a boycott of this kind or a secondary boycott of this kind is undertaken by a political group for purely political purposes, the case involving the NAACP, that's protected under the First Amendment. The problem here is that we have a case that's a mixture of the two, a business engaging in a political secondary boycott, and without getting into the details of the law in the area, as far as I know, as far as I've been able to determine, this is an unprecedented case.
I'm a little unclear, Professor Schwaber. Why is a secondary boycott unethical?
Well, let me answer that question because that's the one that I care about much more than the technical legal issue.
Yeah.
Let me go back to the ad that I mentioned, the Reuben Lee Mitchell ad that was run by the Gableman campaign itself. To say that it was run by the Gableman campaign can be misleading. It was actually created and authorized by Republican Party operatives, a guy named Darren Schmidt, with the help of a guy named Mike Grawl. One of the things that's striking about the Gableman campaign was that it was very, very directly managed by the Republican Party in a putatively nonpartisan election. So if we're going to be consistent, if Epic's goal or any other business's goal is to put pressure on candidates and campaigns to clean up our judicial elections, they should be boycotting anyone who contributes to the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Conversely, pro-life groups should be boycotting anyone who does business with Planned Parenthood. And so on, right down the line. Ethically, this is troubling because it does two things. First, it imposes business penalties on people for their political expression, which seems like a mixing of two different things. That is, it doesn't seem like we want businesses to be in the business of trying to make standards for political expression. Secondly, and more importantly, to the extent that in a given case, the boycott has a coercive effect, that is, that a small business or even a large business finds it necessary for its economic survival to silence its voice or alter its statements or its affiliations or to stop contributing to Planned Parenthood, then we have outright silencing. And it's very important to realize that in a modern economy, businesses can have the power to silence people as employers, as contractors, just as much as the government can.
Yeah. Let's get Mike McCabe's response to that. The secondary boycott and the ethical issues.
I think it's inappropriate to use the term secondary boycott in this debate, and here's why. Secondary boycott is something that probably 99 out of 100 people have no idea what it is. They haven't heard of it. Basically, what a secondary boycott is when somebody refuses to do business with or associate with or relate or deal with somebody with whom they don't have a dispute, presumably to try to put pressure on them to pressure somebody who they do have a dispute with. There's a number of things wrong with bringing secondary boycott into this particular debate in the situation involving Epic. First of all, secondary boycott has a very specific legal meaning pertaining to labor disputes. It has a very specific meaning in a labor relations context. I believe the term is being used out of context in this situation. But more importantly, Epic's boycott isn't secondary, because WMC is an association of businesses. M&I Bank, J.P. Cullen, when they have representatives on WMC's board. So Epic has a dispute with these companies because these companies are WMC. they have a bone to pick with these companies because these companies are engaged in activity that Epic finds repugnant. And then the third point that I want to make here is that it is supremely ironic to say that Epic is somehow seeking to silence WMC or take away WMC's free speech rights when we're talking about an association of businesses that has pretty much hijacked Supreme Court elections. There was about $4.8 million spent by outside groups in this last Supreme Court election. WMC was, by a very substantial margin, the biggest spender of those. Five interest groups did 90% of the political advertising in this race and basically turned the candidates themselves into bystanders in their own campaign because they did 90% of the talking, 90% of the advertising. So free speech didn't mean a whole lot to any other group or even the candidates themselves because they didn't get to do hardly any of the talking during this campaign because you had five interest groups led by WMC that monopolized the debate and did virtually all the talking. And so I think one of the problems I have with this whole debate is that, I don't have any reason to believe that Professor Schwaber is doing this wittingly or that he's seeking to do this, but what's really happening here is that WMC is being given a great gift because the focus has been shifted away from the way that WMC has hijacked Supreme Court elections and is doing tremendous damage to the free speech rights of citizens and to candidates, and they've he's shifted the focus on to a company that is sort of a David up against hundreds of Goliaths that are in this business association that collectively have far more wealth, far more ability to engage in political coercion. If you want to talk about political coercion, this association is seeking to take over our court, and the court is not supposed to belong to anybody. It's supposed to be nonpartisan. It is supposed to be independent.
Let me jump in here, Mike McCabe. We have just a couple of minutes before a news break. Professor Schwaber, if you could, we'll talk about the free speech and issues more in our second half hour, but what about the argument that Mike McCabe just gave us, that Epic does have a bone to pick with the businesses that are associated with WMC and is doing so?
Well, two things. First, the ethics of a tactic can't depend on who's doing it. If it is ethical for Epic to do this in this context, it is equally ethical for other companies to use the same tactic to discourage people from associating with Planned Parenthood. And the more we focus on this particular dispute without recognizing the fact that the same tactic can be used by others in other contexts, the more we're going to be surprised by the outcome that we help foster down the road. Secondly, the statement is simply false. In some cases it may be true, and in some cases it's not. There are a whole bunch of assumptions built in there, that representation on the board by a CEO or a member of the board of a company equates to the membership of that company on the board of WMC, that every company involved in WMC is a big one, which isn't true, that every company that's a member of WMC or does business with WMC, let's not forget. Necessarily agrees with everything that WMC does.
I have to hold you there because we have news now from National Public Radio coming up, and then we will take more calls or start taking calls from listeners after the news. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Monday, July the 14th. Epic Systems, a Verona-based medical records company, recently announced it's not going to do business with companies that belong to or do business with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, WMC, the state's largest business association. Epic's decision was based largely on WMC's involvement in the state Supreme Court justice election between Michael Gableman and Lewis Butler. WMC aired ads and worked to elect Gableman, considered a more business-friendly candidate. One of our guests during this hour says Epic was wrong to express its disapproval of WMC in this manner. Another guest applauds Epic for the action, and we wonder what you think. What questions you have? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. As we talk about this political battle between a powerful company and a powerful lobbying group. Is it a good thing or a bad thing when it comes to free speech? Our two guests have debated this issue in dueling op-ed columns in the Wisconsin State Journal over the past week or so. Howard Schwaber is an associate professor of political science and affiliate member of the UW-Madison Law School, and Mike McCabe is executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And to the phones we go. Our callers have been waiting. Sean in Burlington, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to applaud Epic's efforts. I hope others join them. I've been concerned for some time about WMC's efforts to undermine democracy in the state of Wisconsin. And I would point to last week's ludicrous decision written by the ethically bankrupt Annette Ziegler, who they paid to get on the bench, that the citizens of Wisconsin are going to have to pick up the tab for returning taxes on customized software. I'd also like to point out that a few years ago, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce had Oliver North come in as their keynote speaker. And if people don't remember, Oliver North traded arms with the known terrorist sponsoring nation of Iran to fund death squads in the country of Nicaragua to undermine their democratically elected government there. And Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce brought him in and propped him up as though he was some sort of a patriot. And that's just the kind of character that this organization has exhibited the last few years. I find it appalling, and I think that they need to be called on the carpet for it.
Yeah. Howard Schwaber, maybe you want to respond to that first.
Sure. This is the basic tenor of the entire argument. WMC are bad guys that deserve whatever they get. The problem is that, to my mind, won't quite do. The question of what tactics we use to complain about WMC really is important. And let me give you the obvious example. You've twice cited the claim that WMC has made that their free speech rights are being suppressed. That's not an argument that I'm making. I think it's a silly one. There's no doubt that Epic is perfectly within its rights to refuse to do business with WMC. The free speech and free association rights we're worried about are people caught in the middle, the potentially vulnerable businesses who would prefer to express support for or associate with WMC, but would feel compelled not to do so out of a duty to their shareholders or their employees or just their own bottom line. I'm perfectly happy with the characterization of WMC as a bunch of bad people who are doing bad things for Wisconsin democracy. That doesn't mean anything goes when we try to express our disapproval.
Mike McCabe.
Well, I disagree with Professor Schwaber on a lot with respect to this issue, but this is one area where we agree. I don't think that the principles at hand, I don't think we should decide how we feel about the principles at hand simply because of the cast of characters involved. Regardless of whether it's WMC involved here or some other association or some other business, I don't think is the point. I just disagree with Professor Schwaber that, one, this is a secondary boycott and that Epic has done something wrong here. There are business leaders across this country, including somebody like Paul Linsmeyer, who's a Green Bay Area business leader, who are promoting the notion of a triple bottom line. They think that truly responsible and healthy companies ought to have three bottom lines, not just one. That it shouldn't just be profit, but also they should be thinking about people, there should be a social bottom line, and they should be thinking about the planet and environmental bottom line. What Epic is doing here is living out that notion that there's more than one bottom line, that there is a social bottom line, that they ought to be concerned about people. And what they see happening with our Supreme Court races is something that they find repugnant. And I think one of the problems I have with Professor Schwaber's whole argument is he keeps saying that they're trying to coerce small businesses. And he has not been privy to the conversations that Epic has had with specific companies that are that have member that have representation on WMC's board. They've talked to J.P. Cullen, hardly a small business. They've had meetings with M&I Bank, hardly a small business, and they have targeted companies that are in a position because of the fact that they have seats on WMC's board. They are in a position to set WMC policy. They in fact authorized the political activity in the Supreme Court race that Epic finds so repugnant. So, you know, I think that one of the problems with Professor Schwaber's argument is that he's sort of putting words in Epic's mouth, and he's reading things between the lines in Epic's statement and saying that they're engaged in something that he does not have direct proof.
Yeah, all right.
That they're involved in.
All right, so
they've targeted companies that
this is respectfully
that,
nonsense.
That are yeah. WMC.
Professor Schwaber.
With due respect, this is nonsense. First of all, I have not said anything about the subjective motivations of Epic and its leadership. I'm talking about the form of the action they're taking. And the form of the action is potentially coercive. Let's take the particular case that Mr. McCabe keeps citing with J.P. Cullen. J.P. Cullen has a large construction contract with Epic. Within days after the announcement of this statement, the CEO of J.P. Cullen resigned his seat on the WMC board, and the company withdrew from WMC. It is absolutely true. I was not privy to any private conversations. I do not claim to have any proof of any specifics. I find that pattern remarkable. And to suggest that J.P. Cullen did not feel economically coerced into its CEO abandoning his position and the company abandoning its affiliation strikes me as ludicrous.
Well, TDS Metrocom also left WMC's board, and so did We Energies. Are you blaming that on Epic?
I have no idea.
That's exactly the point. You have no
saying.
Idea.
I don't think Mr. McCabe understands what I'm saying. The form of the action is not wrong if and only if the person doing it has a malicious and malevolent intent to cause a specific named company to alter its behavior. The form of the action is wrong when economic clout is put in service of silencing the expression of political views on any side. Mr. McCabe, would you support as ethical large businesses in Wisconsin saying they will not do business with any business that contributes to the Democratic Party, Planned Parenthood, or any other organization?
Here again, what you're saying is so supremely ironic because here's a business association that amasses resources that have had an enormously detrimental effect on the free speech rights of citizens and candidates in the political arena because they are able to monopolize political debate. And five groups did 90% of the advertising in the Supreme Court race. And again, I think one of the really unfortunate things here, and whether Dr. Schwaber knows that he is doing this or has done it in a totally unwitting fashion, what he's doing is exactly what WMC has to have happen. When questions start to be raised about WMC's role in this Supreme Court race, they need to spin people to look at some, be distracted in some way and look at something else, and Epic happens to be the thing that has distracted us and taken the focus away from their attack on the free speech rights of citizens.
This is inaccurate on two grounds. Mm-hmm. First, far from silencing the dispute, mm-hmm. if Mr. McCabe hadn't noticed, discussions of WMC's role in the judicial election had pretty well died down until this revived it. If anything, this discussion is refocusing attention, I think in a very healthy way, on that question. Secondly, to characterize the five outside groups, two of whom supported Butler, by the way, as interfering with the free speech rights of candidates is using the idea of free speech rights in a very complicated way that's just beyond the scope of this discussion, but it's a much, obviously a much less direct version of the concept.
Yeah, but I want to know, Mike McCabe, though, I don't know if it's considered a distraction or not, to say what's the answer to the question, should a big, large business group like WM we're not doing business with anybody who contributes to the Democratic Party, you wouldn't like that, would you?
Well, there's a very long history of the use of economic boycotts, and they hit all sides of the political equation, and to simply say that you find the conduct of a particular business or particular association personally repugnant and you refuse to do business with them, you've refused to buy their product, or you've refused to have an account at a particular bank, or you refuse to go and get a service from a particular organization, that's something that has a very long history in America, and it dates all the way back to the beginning, the founding of our country. What was the Boston Tea Party other than an act of economic coercion to try to bring pressure to bear on the King of England?
Actually, it was nothing of the sort.
Yeah, I have to do a weather break, and then we'll continue this debate on the State Capitol Report. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, July the 14th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we will welcome in the author of the book, The Court and the Cross, The Religious Rights Crusade to Reshape the Supreme Court. Right now, it's our State Capitol Report. We are talking with two guests, Howard Schwaber, an associate professor of political science and affiliate member of the UW-Madison Law School, and Mike McCabe, executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Our two guests debating an issue that they have also been debating with dueling commentaries over the last week. It involves a large software company, a medical records company, Epic Systems of Verona. This large business said it will no longer do business with those who are members of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce or those who do business with WMC because Epic does not like WMC's involvement in political issues, most particularly the state Supreme Court race where it ran a number of anti-Lewis Butler ads. And we have a number of other callers who want to get in on the conversation, so let me go next to Lynn in Mequon. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm curious to know whether Epic put a sunset clause into their decision or whether they've determined this will be their decision for the long haul.
Mike McCabe, do you know?
The statement does not say anything to that. And again, all we know about where Epic management is coming from is from the statement that was made public, and it doesn't say, it simply says that they made a decision to try to work only with vendors that do not support WMC with its current management. So you have to judge for yourself based on the facts that we have available to us.
Yeah. Do you have any comment on this, Professor Schwaber?
Well, only to observe that the question is a very sharp one because it points to the question of what exactly is this statement intended to achieve, to try and compel the constituent members of WMC to fire its current board and elect a different one, to put WMC out of business. What exactly is the goal? It's a sharp question. I don't know the answer.
Yeah. We will go now to Jackie in Middleton. Hi, Jackie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a woman who has the Declaration of Independence on her office wall, so every day I'm reminded of the opportunities and the responsibilities of leadership in my company. And one of the things that I think is profoundly important is that corporations live up to their espoused values. 86% of people, when looking for positions now, check out the values of their prospective employers and how they live those values. And I think what Epic is really challenging is they're saying to their presumably their vendors, and hopefully their customers too, that this is our set of values. We want you to stop and think about the values that you're espousing in the community and making sure that when you belong to this organization, that the values that you are supporting are the ones that you want to exhibit. And if they are, fine, well, and good, and we choose not to do business with you. And I would agree if somebody thinks that giving donations to the Democratic Party or supporting Planned Parenthood is offensive to them, they can choose not to do business with those people, too. And I make choices every day not to do business with people who I think don't share my personal values. I don't have as big a company as Epic System and never plan to. But I think it's really, truly important that we should be proud of Epic, that they're willing to take the risk to their business and the livelihoods of their employees, bless them, that they're willing to make this kind of bold statement about the values that they want to live by every day.
Yeah. And what's your response to that, Professor Schwaber?
Well, on the one hand, I entirely agree. Mm-hmm. It is certainly the case that what EPIC is trying to do is make a statement about values, and it's one that I laud. The question, of course, is how and what the particular tactic is. Let me go back to the historical examples that Mr. McCabe just cited. Every single one of those, with the exception of the Boston Tea Party, perhaps, is a simple example of a primary decision to boycott. I'm not going to do business with you because I disapprove of your actions. When you get to the point of saying, I won't hire anybody who is associated with this group, I won't do business with anybody who's ever contributed to this group, I won't sell my goods to anybody who publicly declares support for this position, then you move to a different level. And that's the point at which, while I continue to laud the values that EPIC Systems is trying to promote, I have profound problems with the strategy by which they're pursuing them. And both historically in this country, we have seen those kind of tactics, and there's a reason we've passed laws and reached conclusions that these are inappropriate and tried to limit them.
Mm-hmm. Mike McCabe?
Well, again, I frankly just disagree that this is a secondary boycott. And again, I think that this is it's something that's being introduced into this particular set of circumstances that just doesn't fit. And I just think what the caller is getting at is the fundamental issue. Does a company have a right and even an obligation to live out its ethics and its principles? If it does, then EPIC should be applauded, not ridiculed. It should be applauded for not simply looking at profit, but also thinking long and hard about the values that the company holds dear, and then trying to conduct business according to those values. And that's something that I think more companies should think long and hard about. And the fact that one company is being called on the carpet when it does it, I think is, I think unfortunately discourage other companies from similarly introducing ethics and values into business decision making. And I think most everybody out there would think that businesses ought to be thinking more about ethics and values and not just the profit bottom line.
Yeah.
Ethics and values include the tactics that we use to express our values. There are lots of things EPIC could do. EPIC could form a rival lobbying organization. EPIC could take out full-page ads or hand out leaflets. EPIC could organize and fund publicity campaigns to call attention to the conduct of WMC in the last election. None of these would be remotely problematic. But ethics and values go not only to the policy goals and the partisan goals we support, but to how we get to them.
Yeah, let me take one more call or so before we're done. Charlie in Fish Creek. Hi, Charlie. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. This is an interesting program, and while you are talking about, the legalities of all this, I would just want to relate this to campaign finance reform. And the reason I'm going to connect those dots is because, the main argument against campaign finance reform is that it would curtail free speech. But WMC has spent millions and millions of dollars in their free speech, and I can't spend that kind of money, so I don't think there's anything free about it. And my question is, do you think that EPIC Systems, this is their way of kind of skirting those campaign finance reform laws and just about kind of going at this at a different angle?
Mm-hmm. We only have a couple of minutes left. Mike McCabe, you want to go first?
Well, there is absolutely nothing free about political speech these days. All those ads cost a boatload, and that's one of the problems is that, even the candidates can't afford to get a message out to voters because you have a handful of extraordinarily wealthy groups that get to do all the talking and that monopolize the airwaves, did 90% of the advertising in this race, all in the name of free speech, but it's really incredibly expensive paid speech. And that's, I really do think that is the fundamental issue here is how do we get to the point where citizens not only have the right to speak, but some ability to be heard, and what is being done to our Supreme Court races does great damage to that idea of both candidates and voters and citizens having the ability to be heard in our society.
Let's give the last minute to Howard Schwaber.
I not only agree with that assessment of the races, I said so publicly in print and on the radio and on television repeatedly as they were going on. That being said, the degree to which we approve of the cause can't be the test of the degree to which we approve of the tactic.
And we'll leave it there, since we're out of time. Boy, thanks to both of you for being with us. An hour wasn't really enough.
Thanks,
we appreciate it. Howard Schwaber and Mike McCabe. Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Howard Schwaber, Associate Professor of Political Science and Affiliate Member of the UW-Madison Law School. We thank them both for joining us during this edition of the State Capitol Report. Thanks to Rob Ferret and Karen Prager and Cynthia Schuster for producing the hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, you can call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. We also archive all of our talk shows on our website, so you can listen to them through your computer at your convenience. Our website, WPR.org. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.